What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 3. If you've made it this far in, I don't really know what to say, but I'm very sorry if you have. I'm actually really happy if you listened to all three of these. If not, then first time's always a good time regardless what time you're coming in. So obviously, if you've been listening so far, so far we've had two amazing guests, and Jarrett from Bowling for Soup and Eric from Heart Attack Man. And today we've got a special guest that's a little bit different. Someone that, of course, still works in music, but is their first non-artist guest, as I guess you could say here so far. And that is Becky from Big Picture Media. So if you're not familiar, which you might not be, if you're not too familiar with how the kind of music industry works, or just it's not all that familiar with a lot of those behind the scenes kind of things. But Big Picture Media is a public relations firm that does a little bit of everything. They work with a lot of artists, just creatives in general that aren't just, kind of music related. And Becky and I talk about that a little bit in the episode in terms of, well, all they do that's just outside of music. And it's a very impressive, I guess, not catalog, but a very impressive roster they've got and they've had over the years as well. So I've worked with them for I don't even know how long. Probably my entire music career, I would think. I've met them all a few times. They're great ladies. A lot of great staff they've got over there, and I can't say enough good things about them. I could probably do a whole episode, not even kidding, probably a whole episode on all of the great things they've done for me and kind of helped me out along the way, and I can never thank them enough for that. So, last year, late 2018, early 2019, I don't remember which it was. I did a piece with on Substream with Dana, who founded the company and plays a huge role in everything that still, of course, goes on there. And when I did that, I was like, okay, I want to find a way to do something similar, but with everyone else that works there, because it's obviously, she's got a great staff that works with her. So when it came time to doing this podcast, it was kind of an easy thing of, okay, who do I want on this podcast? I wanted a few music guests right off the top. I wanted to try to do Jarrett, and I sat down a little bit more and thought of, okay, Eric and a few other guests that we got coming up later that you'll obviously hear at some point. And Big Picture Media also popped up pretty quickly. And so I sent out a few emails, talked to everybody there, and I've got a few of them lined up with some other incredible people that work there as well. So we'll get to those obviously at later dates, later episodes. But for now, this one's with Becky, and Becky's done a lot of, like I said, a lot of great things for me. And I'm very excited that we were able to kind of get together and chat for about 40, 45 minutes or so and just kind of have her tell her story on how she got into music and what exactly she does. Because I think, I could tell you at least honestly, before I started working in music, I had probably a terrible, terrible perception of, what being a publicist was. And I don't mean that negatively. I just mean a little bit, if we're being honest, a little bit of ignorance to kind of all that they do and what exactly it is that they do. So she shined some light on that, and I think it's a great listen, of course. That's maybe from a biased from a biased perspective as it is myself. But I listen to it. I think you guys will all enjoy it. And we, of course, right off the bat, I'll be honest with you, we start off with a little bit of a rant about Fall Out Boy, because honestly, what other way could you do it besides talk about Fall Out Boy? And no spoilers, but you'll see. It's fine. It's great. We talk about Fall Out Boy. We talk about our music career, and we just kind of have a good conversation for about 40 minutes or so. So, as always, there's going to be a bit of an ad before we get to the podcast episode with Becky from Big Picture Media. Oh, hello, Becky. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's Thursday, so the week is almost over. So that's always nice, but I know like a publicist job never really stops at a certain time. So,
Nope, it definitely does not.
no, absolutely. Well, I wanted to basically talk about a little bit of everything with you, kind of, your career and how you got to where you are. But first, like I told you on Twitter, we're going to talk about Fallout Boy because that record is my favorite record of theirs. So I think that is really I know the best way, underappreciated work of art from them, I would think.
Yeah, I feel like it came out and like they were riding this high from Under the Cork Tree, and even Infinity on High did really well, and then Folie à Deux came out and like not that people didn't like it, but it just didn't get the same reaction or the same love that the ones before it did. And then not long after that, they went on hiatus, and I feel like it just got kind of lost in the shuffle.
I think so.
And it was really sad because it's a great, right? It is my favorite record of theirs, and I wish they would like play more of it, but I know why they don't, and I get why they don't. But if there was ever a time when they did like a tour where they played that, like just one show,
I
I
would go
would go
anywhere.
wherever. Like I would travel unspeakable lengths for that record.
Well, the thing that kills me is the songwriting on that record is really good, but then also like the cameos that they were able to
Oh my
get.
goodness, yeah.
They have a song with Elvis Costello on it.
Yeah.
Like, how do people not talk about that?
I know. They did that. They had Lil Wayne on one of the songs, and like that was kind of like a that was like the tail end of like when pop punk bands were getting like really like big artists, you know, like when Boys Like Girls did Taylor Swift and like We the Kings did Demi Lovato, and it's like what the fuck? Like just right at the tail end of it, and that was but they had everybody on that record.
Yeah, literally. And then there was the song that has Elvis Costello on it, What a Catch Donnie, also
Yeah.
has cameos from a bunch of like the Fueled by Ramen bands of that
Yeah.
era. So like William Beckett's on there, Gabe Saporta, like Brendon Urie pops up on a song.
Yeah.
Like it was a masterpiece and nobody
Yeah.
appreciates it.
I Yeah, if they did like the reunion tour, they played What a Catch Donnie live, and that was it. Like I was dead. I was like, this is great.
I
Like
know, that was such a treat.
did you go to the reunion tour?
I did.
Oh my
My
goodness.
friend somehow managed to get tickets to the New York show,
Yeah.
which was like a Hail Mary right there because those shows sold out real quick.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I woke up late that morning, and so like I didn't get tickets to their show in Columbus, and I was like, well, what ones are available? And Detroit was available. I was like, fuck it, I'll drive 3.5 hours. Like it's fine, and I don't regret it. Like that set list was like so perfect for them because they played, you know, they played What a Catch. They did Disloyal Order of Water Buffaloes, but they also did like, I think they did Tell That Mick live too on that tour, and it was. That's it. That's all I need from them, really.
And it also was like right as they were starting to release new music from Save
Yeah.
Rock and Roll. So
Yeah.
like The Phoenix and My Songs Know What You Did, like those
Yeah.
are jams. That's another record from them that I feel like it was a big deal because it was like, oh my God, Fall Out Boy is back,
Yeah.
but it maybe didn't get quite the appreciation that it should have.
Yeah. That's my favorite, like, post-reunion Fall Out Boy record.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In my personal opinion, they've like those records as they've like released them have kind of tailed off a little bit, you know, for me at least. Like I like all of Save Rock and Roll. I could pick about 6, 7 songs off of American Beauty, and then Mania, I'm just like I can't. Like I don't know what it is. I'm just not a fan of it. So
Yeah, I didn't love Mania. American Beauty, American Psycho, I actually did really like, but it didn't stick with me quite as much as Save Rock and Roll did. And that's another one where you like look at the cameos on that album. They had
Elton
Courtney
John, oh
Love, they
my
had Elton
goodness.
John, like
Yeah.
how?
Imagine like pitching like Elton John. Like, what are you just gonna email like Elton John? Like, hey buddy, we probably like I mean they I don't know, like they must have met in passing at some point, right? I mean, like I can't imagine that Elton John would do a song with someone he doesn't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe he would, but
Maybe he would. Maybe he's just that kind of guy.
he might. I mean, what else is I mean, he's kind of chill. He's kind of reached the point of his career where he can just pick and choose and do whatever he wants, you know. I mean, no one's probably telling him what to do, you know, so
Oh yeah, he can literally do whatever he wants. He's Sir Elton John.
He is literally, oh my God, I forgot that he was actually like knighted like that. Yeah. Well, we will postpone our Fall Out Boy conversation to talk more about you, which is kind of you and I have worked together for many, many times over the years. I don't know how long it's been, probably forever, basically.
Feels like it.
It does feel like
In the
forever.
best way, not like, oh God, like it's Logan, but
Yeah, this guy keeps emailing me. It's just a mess. Yeah, well, we just I don't know. I'm trying to think, and I was trying to do this with Natalie the other day, trying to figure out like when her and I first worked together, and I was trying to I'm thinking you're trying to think of when you and I first worked together, and I don't know when it was. 'Cause how long have you been at Big Picture?
Coming up on February 17th is my 6-year anniversary,
Okay.
which is like weird to say and think
Yeah.
about.
Like 6 years since you first got there. Yeah. Man. So that was yeah, what was the it was probably one of the first campaigns you worked on, would be my guess, but do you remember what the first campaign that you worked on with Big Picture was?
So when I started at Big Picture, I started as a junior publicist. So I was
Yeah.
an assistant to two senior publicists. So I actually, when I started up, I kind of just jumped into whatever campaigns they had going on at the
Yeah.
time. So their rosters were probably anywhere between 8 and 10 bands. So bands like Soulcat and Talk. I remember working with a band called Arkenstones that was managed by the drummer of Kansas, which was really cool. Working on Lily and the Parlor Tricks, which was a band based out of New York that was really cool, really good. It was very the actual rosters were very different than the kind of stuff that I work on now, actually, which was cool. It was a great chance for me to learn the ropes and just kind of see how different genres worked. And also the publicist that I was working with worked in very different ways. So it kind of gave me a chance to see like what worked best for each of them and then take that and adapt it for my own style as a publicist.
Absolutely. What do you think was, I guess, you know, when you first started doing it, what was, I guess, one of the, I don't know if shock is the right word, but maybe when you first started doing it, what was the biggest difference between, you know, maybe like what being that publicist was versus what you expected it was going to be? If there was anything that kind of stuck out where you're like, oh, that's not how I thought it was going to go.
I had interned at Big Picture prior to starting full time, and I interned for about 2 years. So I did have somewhat of an idea of what it was going to be like, but I think the thing that really threw me off was I didn't realize how it truly is a full time job. Like there is no taking off when you're a publicist. You are available 24/7 for your bands. If something happens, you do it. Like you tackle whatever comes up, and that's kind of all there is to it.
No, it's definitely not a not something where, I mean, obviously, you know, you leave your office and you go home, but you're just, I mean, you can't just be like, oh, sorry, I am it is 6:30, like I'm done. You know what I mean?
Right.
It, you know, if they need something, unfortunately, not unfortunately, but you know, it's part of it. You just have to you know, kind of definitely be there.
My biggest example for that is I took a week's vacation. I went to London to visit some friends, and I ended up doing a conference call with a client that was starting up that week while I was gone. Like I took vacation time, but I'm still a publicist. I still care about my bands, and I want to be available to make things go as smoothly as possible and to make sure that everything goes as well as it can and it should.
Absolutely. Well, what was aside from, you know, kind of that example of, you know, that was you know, being on vacation and still doing a little bit of work, of course, but as and obviously I don't need anything specific like names, obviously, anything like that, but like if you think about like something that maybe like is, you know, if you're sitting at home and some kind of crisis came up, you know, you're like, oh shit, like what, like I really didn't expect this to happen, like it's really kind of like threw you through a loop. Can you think of anything like that that's like really sticks out to you?
I've been very fortunate in that I haven't had a whole lot of fires to put out over the years. I think there was one time that I had a band's premiere set for one day, and an editor accidentally put it up a day early, and we weren't prepared for it, and that kind of threw us all off, and I had to real quick get it taken down and have like social posts removed and things like that. I think I'm pretty fortunate to say that that's like among the worst things that have happened to me as a publicist, which is nice.
Yeah, that's good. I think I've definitely, like, especially when I first started at Substream, like I was still kind of getting used to like the WordPress like timing and everything, and like I accidentally scheduled something that was supposed to be like 1 p.m. but for like I put it up at like 1 a.m. because I forgot that it was like military time, so it's like, oh yeah, one like 01 1 like 01 00, it'll be fine. And yeah, it was 12 hours early, so that's something where like I woke, like I was still awake, I don't know why, for some reason like I wasn't asleep, and I was like, oh, this yeah, this isn't right. So I guess like I get that like sometimes, but a whole day, you know, a whole day seems like you know, just a little bit of a miscalculation probably.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Sometimes these things happen, you just gotta roll with it.
It's always kind of unexpected. And what's so interesting is I've been doing, you know, some of these you know, some of these podcasts and talking to a few different people, and something that always comes up is that the music industry is always kind of like that. You never really know what's going to happen, you know, whether it's, you know, from a publicist side of, you know, pitching things or reaching out, or from an artist side of like putting out music. Like some things just stick and some don't, you know, so it's kind of like you're always just hoping for the best, you know.
Right. And yeah, we try really hard to like manage expectations with the bands that we're working with. just because we fully understand the music industry, there is no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
But we do always like shoot for the stars, and we want to do the best that we can to make these things happen for them. But
Yeah.
it's just the kind this kind of thing where you just never know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what was something that maybe in a positive way, I know I asked you about like maybe some putting out fires there, but in a positive way, maybe was there something that when you think of like you were expected to like do this premiere, put it out, do this kind of push an album a little bit, and maybe that it went better than expected. Maybe it got a little bit more attention or more traffic, or just kind of the premiere went really well. Was there anything like that in a positive way that sticks out that it was really? And I'm sure there's probably a handful of them or a little bit more than that, but was there something that you're like, wow, this is like going really great?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, my biggest goal is to make my clients' dreams come true. So if a band
Yeah.
says to me, "Hey, this is an outlet that I really want to be on," I do my best to make it happen. So like last summer, I was working with Juliet Sims on a couple new songs, and while she was out on Disrupt Festival, and she at the beginning of the campaign said that she would love to be on Nylon. Like that had been a goal for her for years, and by the end of the summer, we had her premiering a new song and music video
Yeah,
on
sweet.
Nylon, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's yeah, I remember that. I think I remember seeing that, and it was one of those things where sometimes you get like, not used to, like sometimes you see like premieres and like, well, like what the, like how did that happen, and like this from Columbus, the band Snarlers did like a premiere on like Rolling Stone, and I was like,
I
what the
saw
fuck?
that.
And
That
I was
was
like, that's so
cool.
sweet.
I saw that piece and I really liked the song. I'd never heard of them before.
Yeah, no, they're like they're a great band, and but if you look at like their social media following, it's not anything like massive, it's not like you're gonna blow you out of like you're gonna look at it and go, wow, like that's big, but I think that's a lot of things, having great music and then having the right kind of people. I think those two things, go hand in hand. I
Right.
think sometimes people think it's just having the right connections, which that can get you far, or unfortunately, sometimes it's not just about the music, and so I think it's a combination, a little bit of everything that kind of gets you to where you need to go.
Yeah, and it's also a lot of it has so much to do with timing too. Just because, especially like when you're pitching writers on stuff, and I know you see this, you get hundreds upon hundreds of emails every single day. And it could be the kind of thing where the email that I send you just happens to be when you're in your inbox and you're working, so you see it. Or just like time of the year and what else is happening at that point. Like all these things factor in, and that's something that I don't know a lot of people think about when they're planning out like an album rollout or something along those lines is, okay, well, what else is going to be going on at this point?
Yeah, it is, especially for me. It's like sometimes I'm, if I'm like doing something during the day or like doing my other job, I'm like, okay, like let me check my phone. Like I see something, and I'm like, maybe 1 minute. It's like, okay, I've got like 10 emails, and then I go back and I come back in like 30 minutes. Like, well, you have like 54 emails. I was like, oh, well, it's been 30 minutes, but yeah, let me let me sort through it, and then especially when I get home, I'm like, okay, let me actually dig through this and get through it. And sometimes things still just slip through the cracks, and
Yeah.
I think that certainly works both ways, whether it's a writer reaching out or a publicist or even like an artist. Sometimes I think having those expectations of we're gonna do this, and it might take some time, but eventually, most of the time, you'll get in touch with kind of who you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what is so far, obviously at Big Picture, you've worked with so many. So many great artists, so many different artists at the same time. Not even just music. I know you guys do a lot of like non kind of music endeavors over there and everything like that. But what was something, and I probably like know the answer to this question, but what was someone that you worked with that you're like, wow, I'm like actually working with this band right now?
So yeah, I'm sure you already know what my
My guess
answer
is
is going
either
to be to this.
Bayside or the Early November.
Bayside. I mean, the early November too. Actually, last year in general was a lot of those kinds of moments for me. There was a point last year where I was working with Bayside, Senses Fail, the Early November, Simple Plan, and We the Kings all at once, which like just kind of you if you tell some of those are the bands that I work with, like that's me in a nutshell. But the big one for me, like of those, is definitely Bayside. They're a band that I've been listening to since I was 15. I have the bird t logo tattooed on my foot. Like, this is a band that I very much love and is a huge part of the reason, like, why I wanted to work in music in the first place.
Did you show them, like, did you meet them, like, to talk to them and show them all that?
I don't think I've shown them the tattoo. They know it exists though, and there have been times where they made fun of me for it.
Oh no,
But like in a joking, like loving manner. They're great. I absolutely adore them. They're not just like great musicians and great songwriters. They're also just really good people. So anytime that like people always say, don't meet your heroes, but I've never had an experience where that ended up being good advice. Like, I've met people that I look up to very much and have never had a bad experience, which is amazing.
I mean, yeah, I've been a lot of, you know, people that I grew up listening to, kind of in that same manner where it's, you know, I think somebody told me that similar, you know, 10 years ago, almost when I started doing this. Like, yeah, just kind of, you know, be wary of, you know, when you meet people that you're, you know, really like, sometimes, you know, that could be a bit different than what you expect. And I think that's, you know, more of like a fair advice. You know, I think having kind of the expectation of, you know, they are obviously just people, you know, and you can meet them at, you know, I don't know if you meet them after a show, like 11:30, 11, you know, 45, maybe they're tired, whatever it might be, you know, or everyone has an off day, you know. So I think having the idea of, you know, anything could happen when you meet somebody, you know, but I would never tell someone to like not try, you know. I would never say, oh, I don't, you know, don't try to meet, you know, people you grew up listening to or anything like that. Just kind of have the mindset, obviously you have bad days, they have bad days, or, you know, you could go any way, really.
Yeah, and just go into it like remembering that they are people. So like treat them like a person.
Absolutely. It so happened to do something, you know, successful, and to the point where you got an emotional attachment to it, you know. And obviously they obviously have an emotional attachment to those, you know, to those songs and to those memories. You know, I think everyone's got kind of that going on, you know. It's everyone, just like you said, everyone's people. So what you might enjoy, maybe they don't enjoy. If you're talking about, you know, songs, everything like that, I've seen that happen where I'm like, oh yeah, I really love this song. They're like, eh, it's fine, you know. So I think some people might be turned off by that, but I think it just is what it is. So you mentioned, you know, kind of bass. I was a, you know, a big part of kind of why you got into music and why you wanted to start writing about it. But I guess kind of just tell me the bit, I guess, more about that, and kind of if that, you know, what really drove you to, you know, doing publicity more than anything.
So I actually started out as a journalist.
I didn't know that.
I grew up, you know, in like the pop punk scene and going to shows at Starline Ballroom in Sayreville, which is like an amazing venue that I love dearly. And as I got older, I started going to more and more shows, and I kind of just saw the energy that surrounds live music and how music really does bring people together. And it's this common bond amongst fans. And I love that so much. I started writing about it, and I started doing reviews for my high school newspaper, and just kind of realized I'd always been a writer, but I'd never really thought about going into that side of things. And after that, I was kind of like, well, why can't I write about music? So I took that and I went to college, and I kept writing for my college paper, and I took classes in the music business program at school, and I kept writing, and I was very much like in like on track to kind of keep doing that. And then I stumbled upon the Big Picture Media internship through a friend of a friend. I started interning at Big Picture. I realized that PR was another way that I could kind of blend together my loves of writing and music. And I never left. I stayed for 2 years as an intern. I was like, you guys are never getting rid of me. And I just kind of made it clear that this was what I was passionate about. I loved the idea of being able to tell people about bands that I loved and being able to just share, like, hey, here's a song I'm really excited about with someone. And we like to tell people that we are like professional hype people. And it's very much true. Like, I love being able to sit down and write a pitch about a band that I'm super excited about and say, like, hey, I know that you like these other bands. I think you're gonna love this one.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And I think you guys obviously all do like a really good job of that in terms of just kind of always supporting them and always talking them up. And I think it's one of those things that kind of helps stand out, you know, among the other, you know, everything else going on. You know, I'm sure that kind of draws everyone when you're looking at, you know, new clients and everything like that. I'm sure they can kind of see that too, you know, kind of come through your work and everything.
I really hope so. We
Yeah.
all are really passionate about what we do, and our rosters are all kind of like we all bring in our own clients. We all go out to shows, and when we see bands that we like, we give them our card, we follow up on emails. Like we go out there and we try to find bands that we really do love, because what's the point of working in an industry like music if you can't be excited about it?
Yeah.
Like, I always say that if I'm not enjoying going to shows anymore, then there's no reason for me to work in music.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that was gonna be my next question was kind of, you know, I was always curious about, you know, how when you bring on like new clients and everything, like how that process works, if it's, you know, if them reaching out to you guys or if it's you all kind of reaching out to them or maybe a mix of both, kind of how you really bring on new clients and determine if it's a right fit and kind of all of that.
It's definitely both. We do get a lot of bands that hit us up because they're friends with another band that we've worked with,
Yeah.
or if it's a manager that we've worked with who's now got a like a new band that they want to bring to us. So there is a lot of like bands reaching out to us, or if they've seen our roster and seen the work that we've done with other artists, they'll just kind of
Yeah.
reach out through. We have got a form on our email on our website. But then it is also like, I very much will sit down and I'll go through like New Music Friday playlists or, you know, Spotify daily mixes. And if there's new bands in there that I really like, I'll do some research, see if they already are working with a publicist. And if not, I'll just kind of shoot an email like, hey, I really like
Yeah.
your music. I'd love to work with you. If you have anything coming up, please keep me in mind.
Yeah.
Actually, with the early November, that's kind of what happened last year was.
Yeah.
I saw they were like support for Newfound on that tour last summer,
Yeah.
and Ace mentioned on stage that they had a record coming in the fall. So I went on Facebook, I found their manager's email address, and I sent him a note that just said, "Hey, I'm a really huge fan. Ace mentioned that there's a record coming. If you guys aren't already working with somebody, I'd love to be considered."
Yeah.
And it happened within the next few weeks. I got the record. I got to listen to it beforehand just to make sure that it was something I was gonna like enjoy working on.
Yeah.
And then I got to be their publicist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so is it like I guess I'm pretty sure it is, but is it usually just kind of like per, you know, the campaigns are laid out like what, per album cycle, per tour, kind of things like that, right?
Yeah, so typically we'll come on board for a set amount of time around a record, around a tour, or you know, we'll do like a 1 month campaign if they have a new song coming out or like music video.
Yeah.
But then there are some clients who do have a lot of things coming up and they decide to just take us on like on a retainer basis,
Sure.
which is it's great because working those longer campaigns, we really do get to develop like close relationships with our clients and get to know them better and
Yeah.
work all the angles that we can, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like I think, you know, when I first started, I wasn't really not ignorant, I'm not ignorant, but I guess I kind of was like I didn't really know, you know, much about it. You know, I didn't know much about like so sometimes I'd reach out to like someone on, you know, like a year and a half later and they're like, "Yeah, I haven't like spoke to them in a while." I'm like, "Oh, like I didn't." Like I just, you know, it was like, "Oh, I had no idea," you know. And so it's I think it's probably hard to kind of keep up. Yes, at that point when you've got your own things going on, you know, maybe they go and do something else. You've got all these new artists, kind of hard keeping up with them after they leave, right?
Sometimes I think
Yeah.
social media definitely helps make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, well, I wanted just to just ask a little bit. You know, what is someone that you know, obviously I know we talked a little bit about, you know, bands that you enjoyed and then started working with, but what was someone that maybe, and maybe it's probably a lot of them, maybe it's all of them, that you didn't really know who they were, and then you started working with them, and they became, you know, one of your favorite bands, if you can think of one that really kind of sticks out among the most.
Yeah, there's this band called Figure Eight from Long Island, and it's this kid Ryan Myers. He writes and produces everything like in his bedroom. And I did an EP campaign a few years back when I first got promoted to publicist and started taking on my own clients. And I've just been a huge fan ever since. We did a full album last year, called Any Given Flower. And he's one of those like artists that it is just such a great songwriter. And it's like emo, like indie emo punk kind of. And yeah, just am a huge fan and will support him in literally anything that he does at this point.
Definitely. Well, it's always, I think it's always interesting. I think it's one of, and I was really bad at it like last year, but I want to like get back into it because I think that's one of the most interesting things about music is, finding those new artists, because obviously there's no shortage of them. They're not,
There's so many.
yeah, they're not going away, right? I think,
No, the internet has made it so that literally anybody can make music, and that's awesome. But it also can make it very hard to keep up. And I always feel like there's some new band that I haven't heard yet, and like I need to be listening to, and I don't know how to find them.
No, I think I read last year, I think like May of last year, I was getting ready to do an interview with an artist, Picture This, and I like was like doing research on like this, how much new music was out, and it popped up. I read that like Spotify, at least at that time, it's probably not any lower, that Spotify adds about 20,000 new songs like a day, and I'm just like, that's like, I can't even like fathom like how many, like how much new music is like coming, and I'm just like, I have like, I'm never gonna get to it,
I
and
know, it's so sad because there are so many great bands out there and there just isn't enough time to listen to them all.
I would be very like overwhelmed, like starting like a band, like aside from the, like the lack of musical talent and stuff, I think like that has always been something where I've like, that seems like so like terrifying. Like you really are investing, when you're like a band, like you're putting money into it and hoping it works out, because unfortunately without putting money into it, nothing, whether it's, equipment with guitars and drums and then like promoting your stuff and recording it at all, just seems like you're throwing money into it, hoping it works out.
I do think that's something that a lot of bands don't realize is that like before you can actually start to make money making music, you have to put money into it.
It's tough. It's very tough. I guess I would not caution you. I would never stop. So I never tell someone to not make music. But like you said, it's gotten so much easier to make music. You can do it from your own home, and you certainly got to buy, the programming for it. But it's a lot cheaper than, going to a studio and rent it out and paying, a producer. And obviously, there's a, the quality difference, paying for that versus doing it at your home. But if you want to throw something up on the internet, maybe catch the Post Malone way of getting big on SoundCloud, overnight, and that's a big part of it too.
SoundCloud rappers, it's a huge scene. And
It
it's one that I know
is.
so little about.
One of those like big phases I have, just like it's not that I didn't get it, but I guess it wasn't a big part of what I listened to, so like when that whole, like it still is going on, I guess, but I was really kind of just like, I don't know what's happening, and
It can be really hard to know where to start, and when you're like kind of on the outside looking in, it makes it really intimidating.
it is, and it's for another kind of facet of that, it's like this, you see like some older songs, even like newer songs, I mean, Lil Nas X kind of catching wind from TikTok, like that's just stuff that I'm like,
I
you
don't understand TikTok either. I
I
feel so old because I'm like,
know,
what even is that?
yeah, it's just like Vine, like I guess, like it's something that like my girlfriend watches it, and then a lot of my friends watch it, and they're like, yeah, they're like obsessed with it. I'm like, I don't know, like I was never big on Vine, really, but
No.
this is just another similar thing, and it's,
Yeah, and I also miss the boat on YouTubers, which is the one that makes me feel oldest of all, is the fact that I just like never got into that whole world. There's just so much content out in the universe these days.
there is, and that's and YouTube and even TikTok too, there's so much like money in it, and I'm just like, I wish, like, and one of those things I see people talking about, like how can like artists themselves like take advantage of TikTok, and it's also one of those things where it's kind of luck of the draw. I mean, like you, it's one of the most, I think it might be the most downloaded app like right now, this, how fast is being downloaded, so it's, you think about how much content is being on there, like good luck, I mean.
Yeah, I don't have a TikTok, But to be fair, I also never got a Snapchat.
Really? Okay. I think that's, that's when you get to the point where you're like, what is, how many social media apps do you need? You know, like how
It's too
many?
many these days. I
It is.
actually, so going back to talking about how being a publicist is very much a full-time job,
Yeah.
a big part of our jobs is also just kind of sharing about our bands on our socials. And like we have
Yeah.
company socials, we have our personal socials. Over we take a couple weeks off during the holidays in December. Over our 2 week break this year, I actually deleted my social media apps off my cell
Oh,
phone.
sure. Yeah.
Because it just
Yeah.
felt like a good time to unplug a little bit and step back and
Yeah.
reset for the new year. But it's true, there's just so much going on and so much out there that it can be overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great tool for, like I mentioned earlier, keeping up with, people. Certainly it is, and connecting with, new people, whether it's new friends or, potential new clients and everything like that. I think it's so good for that, but then you can get just kind of sucked into it, and you're like, oh my God, like I mean especially people that are like on TikTok, I know you get lost on that forever, and I think it tells you like if you spent like X amount of time on their app, it's like, are you like, not are you okay, but it's like, do you know
You're
you've been on
right.
this app for 45 minutes? Like,
It's like
other
Netflix asking, "Are you still watching?" Like,
right.
yes, I am. I'm here.
I am, yes, yeah, but it's at least Netflix is, it's something that it's like a, it's like a long, whether it's 30-minute episodes or an hour or whatever it is, I mean, TikTok is, 10, 15-second videos, right? So
Think
how
about
many
how
videos can
many
you
you're
watch in
consuming.
45 minutes? So
Yeah.
many.
It's a lot of videos.
That is a lot. Like, it's a lot of videos, and I see, like, again, I see people getting popular off of it, and I'm just like, like, that's, like, if I, like, I guess if I could, like, get popular and, like, make good money on TikTok, I guess I would. I just wouldn't know where to start. Same thing with, like, YouTubing. I don't know where to start. You've got to put money into it to buy, equipment for the right video and lighting and all of that. I'm just like, I'll just not, I'll let somebody else do it.
That's my, I'll let somebody else do it. That's my viewpoint
Oh.
as well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I want to just kind of, getting back to, your job and publicity and everything like that. And maybe we've, already touched on it earlier, but if you were talking to somebody kind of about what you do and everything like that, what do you think is like a big, whether it's from, family or just, kind of random new people, like what do you think is like a big kind of misconception about like publicity and like kind of what you do?
Well, it's funny because and there's a scene in the Aziz Ansari show on Netflix, Master of None.
Yeah.
In the first season, he's dating a girl who is a music publicist. And somebody says to him, "What does she do? What is her job?" And he goes, "I don't know, but we go to a lot of free concerts." And I always point people to that scene because truly I feel like nobody ever knows what exactly a music publicist does. So my short answer is always I send a lot of emails
Yeah,
because
there
that
you
is
go.
very true. I can send up to 300, 400 emails a day.
Yeah.
And I apologize because I'm sure half of them go to you. But when I break it down a little bit more, it's a lot of pitching people for exclusive premieres, for interviews, for album
Sure.
reviews, to come out to cover shows and set up show previews.
Yeah.
And then just kind of fielding requests from people for those kinds of things and sorting through, like, especially with a lot of our bigger bands, we can't always set things up with smaller blogs. They always want to
Sure.
go more top tier. So it's kind of sorting through requests for those kinds of bands and deciding, like, okay, this is something I want to put in front of the team, or
Yeah.
this is something that I don't think the team is going to want to do at this point in time. Let me,
Sure.
like, pass on it and tell them that we'll try again next cycle or something like
Yeah.
that. It also does boil down to then a lot of scheduling. So when we set up phone interviews, we help coordinate between the writer and the band, and just figure out scheduling and like their schedules and trying to line up a time for it,
Yeah.
which can be a pain in the butt just trying to figure out time zones.
Yeah.
I have become very familiar with what cities are in what time zones
Sure,
because if
I'm
a band
sure,
is on
yeah.
tour, they're always in a different place every day and trying to line up things that way is always a little bit tricky. Yeah, and figuring out like press day schedules and things like that. And when we have bands in New York, we do go out on the press days with them and just make sure that everything goes off without a hitch.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm sure there's a yeah, I mean it's very hard, I'm sure, to explain, but it really is. Yeah, I kind of used it earlier, just being a professional hypoman, you know. I mean, that's really just trying to get, you know, them talked about. At the end of the day, I guess if you boil it down to its simplest terms, trying to get them talked about, right? You know, as much as you can, whether it is with interviews or you know, if it is covering a new single or reviewing that and everything like that. I'm sure it's really just getting it out there. And you know, the idea of, I think from my you know, side of it, you know, coming from, you know, starting a website, starting, you recognizing the size of it, you know, and then understanding kind of where I sat in that, you know, music world, where you got like a music world that has, again, no shortage of sites, you know, which is a good thing. I think there's never a bad time for someone to start writing about music. You know, I don't think you can ever have too many people writing about music. You know, I think with as much new music coming out, I think that's always a good thing, you know. But it's just, and certainly when you start talking about, okay, well, who's coming to the show? Who can we invite out to the show? Or especially if you're in New York City, you know, I know that's always like a tough market, you know, to bring in writers to cover the show, right? So I'm sure it's a very limited, my understanding of it is probably a very limited number that you can give out, right? For like a big market like that.
With bigger shows, it is always hard, especially in cities like New York or LA, where there's a lot of industry people too. So managers come out, booking agents, things like that. But also, if it's like a hometown show, it can be hard because they want their families to come out. And we understand and we respect that. And we do our best to accommodate whatever press requests we can. It can be hard, but just trying to figure it out. The other thing for me is also, I don't necessarily just want somebody who will copy and paste my press release to a website. Like, I want to find people that are going to love the music as much as I do. So I do a lot of research. I try to see what writers have covered in the past and look up similar artists and what sites they're being featured on. And I try to find somebody who I'm going to send it to them and they're going to listen to it and they're going to go, wow, I actually really do like this. Like, let's set something up, let's do something, and they'll go a little more in depth, and they'll hopefully then be a fan moving forward.
I think that's probably another thing that can at least maybe be a bit of a misjudgment, I think, on some people's parts when they think about, you know, maybe they want to be a publicist, you know. And I think there's, I don't think that's a bad goal to have, but I think sometimes, you know, I think people will think it's easy. You know, they'll think, okay, well, I just, you know, reach out to sites, I look for their contact info, and boom, that's it. You know, and like, if coming from personal experience, I, you know, did that like many years ago, not like in a full, like, thought, I'm going to be a publicist this way, but one of my friends was in a band, and like, hey, like, you write about music, you know, when they would cover this song. I was like, yeah, you know, I know a few people and I can reach out. And I was like, damn, sorry, like I didn't do what you thought I was gonna do. You know, I think it's so much more than just, you know, it is obviously a big part of your day, like you said, sending out emails, but it's so much more than just sending out an email and just saying, well, hope for the best, you know, hopefully they do it and hopefully they don't. And you, like you said, you do a lot of research into who you're, you know, pitching specifically. And I think that's probably something that maybe people don't think about, you know, how much research you're really doing ahead of time.
It's definitely, we go for a quality over quantity kind of deal. Because, like, I can pitch 200 people, but if I don't do my research and I don't look into what they've covered, there's a chance that none of them will get back to me. Like, I can send
Absolutely.
200 emails and get no responses. It happens. So, yeah, it's very much just about finding the right people and making sure that they are going to connect with it on the same level that I do.
Absolutely. Especially when you start talking about, you know, doing like you know, interviews or like album reviews, right? You're gonna want it obviously to be leaning more towards, you know, a good thing, especially if you're talking about an album review. You know, you don't want it to send it to, you know, maybe like a pop punk record to someone that's more of like an indie person, and then they review it, and it's just terrible. And then it's like, well, that wasn't good. You know, I mean, I think that there's a lot certainly that goes into that. Okay, well, I wanted to, I guess this kind of ended on a sort of note of, you know, asking you who, you know, of all the, you know, bands you've worked with and all the great things you've done, you know, so far with you and everyone at Big Picture, What is, you know, a band you would really like, kind of still like love to work for? If you had to pick like a bucket list, you're like, damn, I want to like work with this band. I want to represent them. Who would that be at this point for you?
That's a great question because I feel like I've gotten really fortunate in the last couple of years to work with those bands, like especially last year, bringing in the Early November as a client, getting to work with Simple Plan finally was incredible. A Hail Mary for me, I guess, would be like Motion City Soundtrack. I don't even know if they're back full time or if this tour was just like, hey, we missed performing, so we're gonna do a tour. And also I know that like with labels and stuff, a lot of labels have in-house publicists, so they don't even necessarily hire out for stuff. But that is one band that like I very much would love to work with.
I'm glad they're like back-ish, whatever they're doing. I'm glad they're like doing shows. Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen. I think that's one of those things where they probably weren't really doing any press anyway. I'm sure they're like, whatever, we're gonna play shows and that's it. You know, I actually don't think they're like, yeah, let's do interviews, because what are you gonna ask them? You know, I mean, there's only so many things you'd be like, hey, you're coming back? They'd be like, I don't know. You know, so I think that's probably smart on their end too, to kind of know, you know, if a band, if I'm in a band, do I want to do an interview? Like, what am I going to be telling people? You know, I think that's always like a battle in itself as well. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't have, you know, anything else here. I want to say I'm glad we were able to get here, let's get this knocked out and get it recorded, and looking forward to you know, continuing to work together.
Yeah, me too. You are one of my favorite people in the whole world. I hope you realize that.
I appreciate that. No, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We've worked together many, many times, and so many great projects. And it's always, you know, fun to kind of see what we can come up with together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We will obviously, of course, be in touch soon, and I'm sure we'll go from there.
Yeah.
All
Thanks,
right, perfect.
Logan.
Well, thank you, Becky.
Thank you.